And that's got to get somebody fired up. I don't need much excuse to get fired up when I preach, but that'll do it right there, especially as a dad baptizing your son. It's just extra special to see God working, and to see God working in the lives of young people and adults and families is awesome. Today we're going to talk about being called and commissioned. Every Christian is called of God and commissioned by God. Well, I got one. Let me say it again so you can write it down, because this is a springboard for where we're going today. Every Christian, if you claim that, let me just simplify. Simple's good. Ready, students? Simple. Every Christian, if you profess the name of Christ as your Savior and Lord, like these have done today through believers' baptism, every believer of any age, if you profess Jesus as a follower of Christ, then you are called of God and commissioned by God. God calls you for a purpose. To be commissioned means to be sent out, to carry out the calling that God has on your life. Now we're going to look at one specific example today from the book of Ezekiel chapter 2, and that's where we're going to land in just a minute. Before we get there, and you can go ahead and turn there in your Bible or on your smart device, whatever you have today, and we're going to look at the calling and commission of Ezekiel specifically, but we're going to look at some other examples. And there's not a better place to start than on June 17th of 1989, I lived in Longview. It was between my sophomore and junior year. I was finishing my two-year degree at a junior college in Kilgore. Lived in Longview, went to church in Longview, and I was driving out on a Saturday night out Tenneryville Road. Means nothing to you, but I was headed out to White Oak, where my college pastor lived. And I was listening to this show. We were getting together as some college students, and I was listening to this Christian show on the radio called Alive with Ron Hutchcraft. Now, you may know him back in the day if you were into youth stuff, probably not. But I was driving and listening to this song, and at the end of this program, he played this song by Steve Camp. And the chorus of that song says, "Don't tell them Jesus loves them until you're ready to love them too. Till your heart breaks from the sorrow and the pain they're going through. With a life full of compassion, let us do what we must do. Don't tell them Jesus loves them until you're ready to love them too." God used that song as the final nail, if you will, to say, "I'm calling you to a special task." I had the same disease as Moses. I felt like I was shy. I didn't like to speak in front of people. I know that's a shock to some of you now. But it was true when I was 21 years old in 1989. Do the math. It's 30 years. It's easy math, 21 and 30. But I was afraid. I had all the excuses that God takes away in his call to Ezekiel, and really that God takes away to any of us who are believers, because whatever he calls you to, mine was a vocational calling to ministry, but everybody is called to something. Every Christian is called to serve. There are general, specific instructions for all believers that God gives in the Scripture, in the Bible. And they're not optional to obey. Amen. So when God says, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, I'll make you go after men, share your faith," it's not optional. It's hard to see somebody following Christ if they're not sharing their faith. Because that's kind of inherent in who we're supposed to be as a follower of Christ, right? Some of you got it. It should be inherent. It should be natural to share Christ with our lips and with our life, in what we say and do and how we live, because we are the representative, right, of Christ to the world, to those that are watching. And you know the stats. Most people don't see any distinguishable difference looking at people who claim to be Christians and those who don't. for the most part in the world, there's not a distinguishable difference. That's a travesty. There should be a, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. There will be evidence. Listen, somebody say, listen to me. Yeah, you said that three times, Brother John. I'll say it again. Listen, just because somebody says something is true doesn't make it true. If somebody says they're a believer, there's going to be distinguishable evidence of that reality. Just saying so don't make it so. You with me, Mike? There's going to be proof. There's going to be evidence. What's that evidence? Carrying out the calling that God gave us. If anyone would follow after me, Luke 9:23, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Right? It's a daily call. It's a general call in that it's a call for all believers, but he also calls specifically. Let me give you some examples before we read the scripture. Some examples of God's calling in scripture. Give me that if you will. Beck, if you'll give me that first point. Think of some people in scripture. Let's start with Noah. Right? God called Noah to build a boat. And for all of you that are our senior adults, our senior crowd that would say, I'm too old to really be an asset to the kingdom or be involved in ministry, Noah was 500. Any of y'all got him beat? No. As long as you have breath, you're called to serve. You're called to share. You're called to live out your faith. Noah was called to build a boat, and it had never rained. It had never rained. Kind of like it feels like in Central Texas. But God said, it's going to rain, and I'm going to flood the earth. He was sorry that he had made mankind, and he called Noah to build a boat, to build an ark. And it took him a year to build it. Do you know how many converts there were recorded in Scripture as Noah fulfilled God's calling? Zero. But it didn't stop Noah from obeying. God told him, God called him, he obeyed. God commissioned him, I'm sending you to do this, Noah, you do it. And you know who was saved? Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And everybody else perished. Noah was saved because he obeyed God. How about Abraham? Genesis 12. Go to a country I'm going to show you. What? Leave your home, leave your wealth, leave everything that I've established, and go to a place I'm going to show you when you get there. And by the way, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Your descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky and the sands of the sea. You know what Abraham did? He obeyed God's call, and God fulfilled his promise in the most miraculous way. How about Moses? I just identified with him. I can't speak. I can't talk to people. I can't lead people. You're the one, Moses. You don't know what I've done. Yes, I do. I'm calling you anyway. You're going to lead my people out of captivity and into the promised land. And he did. He obeyed God, right? He obeyed God's call. Samuel, when Hannah dedicated him back to God, if you'll just give me a child, God, I'll give him back to you. And he did. Next one. King David. God used him as a little pipsqueak to take on a mammoth giant, Goliath, 9'9", who mocked the armies of God. He was big, he was bad, he was much bigger and badder than David was. But David had one thing that he didn't have. He had the Spirit of God inside of him. He had seen God at work. He had seen God use him as a teenager, as a young teenager, to kill a bear, to kill a lion, and protecting sheep as a young shepherd. And he said, as he got to check on his brothers, and then Saul tried to give him this armor that probably weighed more than he did. No. I'm just going to take this little slingshot and these five stones. And he went to the Goliath and he said, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, and today he's going to deliver me into your hands. One stone is all it took. And he fell graveyard dead. And the Philistines went running because he obeyed God's call, right? God called him. Listen, most of these things were bigger than the people he called them to. The task, if it's a God-sized calling, and usually if it's from God, it qualifies as a God-sized, y'all got that? If God calls, it's a God-sized calling, which means it's bigger than you. But listen, don't miss this. Anything God calls you to, he will equip you to do. So you can't say, I can't do that, God. He already knows that. He doesn't need you, but he wants to use you. And he infuses you with his power. If you're a believer, then his spirit lives inside of you, right? This is yes. Spirit lives inside of you. When you became a Christ follower, if that was genuine, as my first pastor used to say, then he came in to stay. That's why it's called eternal life. So whatever he calls you to do, he's with you to guide you, to help you, to lead you, to carry out whatever he asks. And no task is bigger than God is. No task is too big. He knows you can't do it. He knew Moses couldn't do it, Abraham couldn't do it, and Noah couldn't do it on their own. But they chose to obey because they trusted God. They heard him speak, and they trusted his voice. And they carried out the task with his help. And we are called to do the same. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, one of the greatest callings in those six or seven verses, he told Jeremiah, don't let anybody say you're just a youth. I've appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Go and tell them, whether they listen or not. You're going to hear that repeated in Ezekiel 2. Whether they listen or not, go and tell them. And he did. And he had no converts. That's why he was called the weeping prophet. Daniel stood, remember? He wouldn't bow the knee. He wouldn't bend before the false idols. Remember? And then God threw his friends in the fiery furnace. And God saved them because they were faithful to him. They wouldn't yield to the culture. They wouldn't yield to what was popular. They wouldn't yield to the wrong. They chose to follow God no matter what the consequence, no matter what the price. And can we just be honest? Most of us, when God calls us to something that's bigger than us, most of the time we don't want to yield to that because we're afraid of what it's going to cost us. You don't have to say amen. That's the truth. But I can tell you, as one who's been there on both sides, that God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. He's not going to let you down. If he's called you to something and you're seeking to carry it out with his help, undergirded by his spirit, he's not going to let you down. He's going to help you to accomplish what he's called you to do. Because there are many that need him, many that need him that are still lost. In the New Testament, Mary, God called her to be the mother of Jesus. Peter, in Matthew 16:16, Jesus said, "You are Peter, Petros, and on this rock I will build my church." And the guy who had a propensity for sticking his foot in his mouth became the spokesman for the first century church. And when he preached, 3,000 were saved, and then 4,000 were saved, 5,000 saved. People were saved because God's Spirit just landed on him and he obeyed. To the point of saying, "You stop preaching, Peter. We're going to arrest y'all, throw y'all in jail. Go ahead." Because we can't stop talking about Jesus, and we're not going to. And they didn't, and they got thrown in jail, and then God set them free. And they kept doing what they called to do by God. Of course, Jesus carried out the greatest calling, right? He carried out the commission that God gave him when he sent him to this earth to live a perfect, sinless life, to pay the price for our decadence, for our sin that we couldn't pay, so that we wouldn't have to. You do realize, you do remember, and you're going to be reminded today, that if it had been up to us, there's no hope. There was no help and no hope for salvation and eternal life if God hadn't had a plan to send Jesus, and if he hadn't obeyed to carry it out. Remember in the garden? God, if there's any way, let this cup of suffering pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. God, whatever, God, this is hard. I need your help. Is there any other way? No. Then thy will be done. And he carried that out by giving his life, the beating, the scourging, the suffering, and the death, dying on the cross. Thank God that wasn't the end of the story. God raised him from the dead. He's alive and well today, and he's coming back soon. And for those of us that are called of him, one day we're going to be with him in eternity forever because of Christ, because of Christ. Look in your Bibles at Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. And I want to look real quickly at Ezekiel's calling. God speaking to Ezekiel, verse 1. Then he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet that I am about to speak with you. And he spoke to me, and the Spirit entered me, and on my feet I went, and I heard him speaking to me. Then he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you, that's the commission, I am sending you to the sons of Israel. They're rebellious, like today, who have rebelled against me, they and their children, they and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. I'm sending you, reiterates the commission, verse 4, to them who are stubborn and obstinate children. You get the picture of what kind of people God sent in Ezekiel 2? Rebellious, stubborn, and obstinate. Those are kind of synonyms that all mean the same thing. They were people who were hard-hearted and weren't going to listen and didn't care about obeying. Those are the people I want you to go speak to, Ezekiel. Verse 5, as for them, finish verse 4, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, as for them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house, he said it again, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Verse 6, and you, son of man, that's his term for Ezekiel, that's really a term that you could fill in the blank with your name. Son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words. Though thistles, thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions, neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence, for they are a rebellious house. But speak to them my words, whether they listen or not, for they're rebellious. Verse 8, now you, son of man, listen to what I'm speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I'm giving you. It's symbolizing, take the words I'm giving you and internalize them, and then go tell them what I said. He reiterates it in verse 10, or verse 9. Then I looked, behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. When he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and back, and that's unusual because usually it was only written on one side in that day, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. Verse 1 of chapter 3, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find, eat the scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. The first thing I want you to see is that God called Ezekiel to be prepared for the call. Stand up, son of man. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. He said it multiple times. Stand up. Listen. I've got something to say to you. I'm going to speak to you. And listen, when God speaks, it's more important than when anybody else speaks. Question. Can you hear him when he speaks? Do you know how he speaks? It's hard to obey what God speaks to you if you don't know how He speaks or when He's speaking. Doesn't that make sense? You need to know how He speaks. Can I make it really, really simple? This book is called God's Word. And this Word, just like God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Constant, never changing, always true. Always relevant for all times, for all people, for all eternity. It doesn't change. So the same instruction that God gave to Ezekiel is relevant to us today. Stand up and listen to what I have to say. How? Read God's Word. Study it. Memorize it. Learn it, like He called Ezekiel to. Internalize it. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Listen to it. Make it yours so that you know what God's saying, so that you know when He speaks. You don't have to say, man, I wonder if that's from God. If it's in harmony, listen, if you believe God's speaking to you, if it's in harmony with this book and the teachings of it, obey it. If it's not, run from it. Because God's never going to speak to you or ask you to do any, He's not going to call you to anything that's contrary to this Word. He never will. Because God can't deny Himself. He's perfect, just like His Word is. And His Word, just like Himself in Hebrews 13. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ezekiel, stand up. Listen, I've got something to say to you. By the way, John 10 says, if you want to know more on hearing God, that's not the only way God speaks, by the way, through His Word. He speaks through people. He speaks through pastors. He speaks through teachers. He speaks through parents. And if they speak in harmony with this Word, you need to listen. He speaks through the circumstances that He allows in our life. Do you know nothing happens to you by accident? Somebody, do you know that nothing happens to you that happens by accident? God knows what's going on in your life. Nothing happens to you that happens by surprise. He's with you. He's going to help you. He knows where you're at. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every way. He's with you. In John 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. And it goes on to say, they won't follow the voice of another because they know the voice of the shepherd so well. You know what that comes from? Spending time with the shepherd. Right? Spending time, and there's no substitute for that. There are plenty of distractions, and all of them are good excuses not to spend time with God. There's no substitute for that. You with me? Be prepared. Listen. And it takes getting still to listen. It takes slowing down. It takes finding time when you're not busy. If you're too busy to hear from God, then throw something out. Because you're too busy. Because there ain't nothing more important going on in your life than what God has to say to you. Nothing. Then he says, be bold and courageous. Be bold and courageous. Look a little further down. I am sending to you, verse 4, I'm sending you to those who are stubborn and obstinate and rebellious. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. Whether they listen or not, they're rebellious. I want them to know that God's man, the prophet, has been among them. Don't be afraid of them. Though thistles, thorns, are with you, and you sit on scorpions. It's a word picture for no matter what happens, no matter the circumstances, no matter how hard it is, no matter what they say or do, don't be afraid, because I'm with you. Listen, many of you have experienced loss, whether it be loss of family, loss of friends, through a variety of means. I've been there. Can I say to you that sometimes in those times, in the darkest of times, sometimes I know for us when we walk that path, sometimes the only thing that mattered was people's presence, people being there. People tried to say the right things, they ended up saying stupid stuff. Well-meaning, sometimes in those times, you just need people to be there. You just need people to love on you, hug you, pray with you, because sometimes there are no adequate words. The Bible says that God is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There is not a time, there is not a place, there is not a circumstance that you have or will face, where you have or will be, where you have been or will be, that He's not with you. Listen, that sounds simple, but that is powerful. That's powerful. Because Psalm 139 says, where can I run from your presence? Nowhere. He's with you when you're walking with Him and when you're running from Him. He's with you to help you. If you're running, He's going to hunt you down like a hound dog till you come back and repent and return to Him. If you're walking with them and it's a hard walk, it's a hard path, He's with you. He's going to help you. He's going to sustain you. He's going to even carry you when necessary. But be faithful to Him. That's part of what God's saying to Ezekiel. Be faithful. Don't turn your back on me. You can trust me. You can trust me, Ezekiel. You can trust me, friend. You can trust me, church member, because I know where you're at. I see your tears when you're all alone. I know your hurt. I know your pain. I know your circumstances. I'm with you. My presence is more powerful than that, because I'm not going to let you walk the path alone. Can you imagine the people that go through those kind of... Listen, the Bible says, right, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Hard times come to all people, right? You with me? Can you imagine how people deal with that stuff, that hard life stuff, without Christ? Can you? I don't know how they do. That's why they need us to be sharing the good news with them, because they need the same help and hope that we have. I remember about 3 or 4 years ago, where's Amanda? Nelson, where are you at? Yeah, I see her right there. 3 or 4 years ago, after an LIT trip at one of our summer experience services, she stood right here on this stage, and at the end of her testimony, she shared this verse, Romans 15:13. How will they hear unless someone goes? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they know unless somebody goes? How will they hear unless somebody goes to tell them? I ask you the same question that God asked through Paul in Romans 15. How? How are people going to hear? How are people going to know? He says, don't be afraid of the thorns, the thistles, the scorpions, whatever they throw in your way. It doesn't matter. I'm bigger. I'm stronger. I'm omnipotent. I'm all-powerful. I will help you. They won't listen. It doesn't matter. You obey. Be bold. Be courageous. And the last thing, be obedient. Be obedient. Why is something so simple so hard? Why is Why is doing what God calls us to do so hard to obey when he does? Is it because we're afraid of what he's going to ask us to do? If you're here and you still have breath and you still have life of any age and you belong to Christ, he still has a plan for your life. I was talking to a friend last Sunday about this. Everyone God calls through faith in Christ, he gifts, G-I-F-T-S, with spiritual gifts. He empowers with his spirit, and then he gives every person spiritual gifts. Look, you don't have to have the gift of evangelism to know that everybody's called to share their faith. Right? You don't have to have the gift of giving or generosity to give. Because we're called to give, right? That's a command for all believers. And if you want to obey God, it's not just a pick and choose smorgasbord religion. That's not what you signed up for when you said yes to Jesus. And he'll help you, right? He's with you. Obey, son of man, open your mouth and eat this scroll. Take in my words and then go tell them. I don't care if they listen or not. You obey me. Because listen, right? The changing ain't up to us. You can't change nobody's heart. I know that's bad grammar, but that's good theology. You can't change the human heart. Henry Brandt says there is no human remedy for sin. Somebody ought to dwell on that and then say amen. That's why we need Jesus. Do you know how many need Jesus? I'll finish with this. You know what an unreached people group is? It's a people group, ethnos, go and make disciples of all nations, ta ethne, all people groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the great commission. That's the great sending out. That's for all believers. As you go, make disciples. That's a call for all believers, regardless of your spiritual gifting. Did you know there are nearly 7,000 unreached people groups in the world today? An unreached people group can be defined as people with similar values, similar beliefs, and who have less than 2% evangelical Christians in their community. 7,000 unreached people groups. Big deal. Yeah, big deal. That equates to about 3 billion with a B people on this planet who have not been engaged with the gospel of Christ. Do you know that over half the world's population live in 2 countries, India and China? Over half, or right about half. That's staggering. And we are called to go. We are called to give. We are called to make that difference while there's still time. The call to Ezekiel to be prepared, to be bold, to be courageous, to be faithful, to be obedient to God's call is still the same for us. Did you know there are 350 unreached people groups in the United States of America? From immigrants and refugees and international students. 350 in our border, in our borders, in this country, who have less than 2% Christians in their people group that live in this country. Listen, in Austin, they're everywhere. In this area, they're everywhere. The question is, What are we going to do? Are we going to sit back like it's not our responsibility? Because when you hear truth, you become accountable for truth. I can't control what you do with truth. That's up to the Spirit of God to work in your life and your heart. And I don't know what that calling looks like in your life, but maybe you need to ask God, what is it? What am I supposed to be doing? Where am I supposed to be serving? Who can I share with? Who's hurting? Who needs Jesus? Just look around. Talk to God. Find some godly counsel. Let us help you. Because when those that are part of the body of Christ are not using their gifts, the church can't be healthy as God desires for it to be. The time is now. The time is short. We are called. We are commissioned to go to make disciples of all nations, to win people to Jesus while there's still time. It's not up to us how they respond. It's up to us to go and tell. It's up to us to share the message while there's still time, as long as we have breath. Let's pray together.